Thank you, Eileen Elfandarian. I just heard, by the way, just in, that every Pacifica general manager is also being issued with a stun gun. I don't know what that's all about, but anyway. So here we are. Welcome to KPFA this morning. I just want to do something that I didn't do yesterday, is thank Anthony Fest, Kirsten Thomas and Kerry Corr, who helped with the program, and they're helping us again this morning, so I don't forget. And also, I do want to remind you and our staff and people listening that tonight down here at KPFA, we're having a party to celebrate the end of our fundraiser and just to eat, drink and be merry. And that's going to be happening from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock this evening. And if you'd like to bring something, that would be good, although I think there are folks already out there organising some food and some refreshments. So you'd be very welcome, and that's an invitation to our listeners and, of course, to our staff who worked so very hard during our last membership drive. We raised $7,045,000. We nearly got to our goal. We're about $80,000 short. Now, I understand that our website this morning is down and we're working on it. I know Michael Yoshida is up there sweating somewhere trying to get us back online. Remember, if you'd like to get some of the pledges, some of the great premium gifts that we offered during the last fund drive, you can go to our website at kpfa.org and you can still get them. And I hope you'll do that at kpfa.org. But as I said, right now, I think it's still down, but sure it'll be up shortly. And also, this coming Sunday on KPFA, Philip Muldery is away for a couple of weeks, and we thought we'd take advantage of that open spot and bring you the Robert Bly poetry reading, which was so great the other day, organized by Bob Baldock. And so we're going to be doing that on Sunday between 9 and 11. We'll be bringing you as much of that as we can, and I think within that two-hour slot we should be able to bring you just about all of it. It was really spectacular. I was privileged to be there, and it was, I described it as like going to church. It was just so wonderful, humorous, a little bit raunchy than most church services that I've been to, however. But Robert Bly, what a great figure, what a great poet, and what a great privilege to have someone like that in Berkeley and to bring him on the radio this coming Sunday. When I first came to this station about 3 months ago, I read something. I'm going to read it again just briefly about radio, and then we're going to be interviewing and hearing from our executive director at Pacifica, Arlene Engelhardt. But before we get there, I just wanted to share this with you from the Pew Project for Excellence in Journalism. They issued their annual State of the Media report a little while back, and it was unsurprising, I suppose, to learn that journalism, in some senses, was really in retreat these days. That because of, you know, the quality of the kind of journalism that we get, we often talk about the happy talk and one thing and another. We also heard recently that talk radio is in retreat. That people like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, the conventional AM talkers, have lost about 30% of their audience. So that's very interesting. At the same time, people are very hungry for real news and real information. And, of course, that's really what Pacifica has been about for 60 years. But it's not just coming from radio any longer. Now, you know this. It's still coming. It's coming from the Internet. It's not so much coming from newspapers any longer. But it's great, I suppose, if you're in the Internet business, building an app or something like that. But it's not so great if you're one of the legacy media, such as we are, conventional radio, struggling for some sort of relevance. KPFA has lost some audience. Television networks have certainly slipped. They've slipped by about 3 or 4%. Newspaper readership is down, and advertising also. They've lost about 5%. Conventional radio has lost about 6%. Magazines also down almost 10%. But you know what? National public radio seems to be doing pretty well, actually. They actually have gone up. And, of course, programs like Democracy Now! Continue to expand their audience. And I think they're on maybe nearly 1,000 stations now. And that, of course, was spawned out of Pacifica in New York originally. Here at KPFA, we have lost a little bit of our audience. But, you know, we're really working hard on that. And I, this morning, want to talk to Arlene about that work that we've all been doing and across our network of five stations. And I want to start, as we introduce our executive director, you've heard from her before here, just to learn a little bit more about her own experience and how she got into radio in the first place. Arlene, welcome, very welcome this morning, and good to see you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Great.
It's good to be here, and I would like to start by saying congratulations and thank you to all the people who contributed to raise that $745,000 over the last fund drive. That's just a little bit better than we did a year ago at this time, and that's exciting news. But as we'll be developing, I think, during the time that we're together, we'll also learn that we definitely have some financial problems.
Yes, we do. Before we get into the problem side, I think I'd be interested, and I'm sure our audience would be interested, to know how you got into radio in the first place. I know you worked down in Tampa. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, it was kind of an interesting story. I had had a situation where my home had been fumigated, and I literally had to vacate, and due to health problems from that. And so I ended up camping for several months. And during that period of time, I was in Central Florida, about 90 miles away from Tampa, and I was playing around with my Walkman to try to find any kind of radio that I could stand to listen to. And I suddenly came upon this station, WMNF. And what were they carrying but the Iran-Contra hearings? And that was obviously Pacifica. So although WMNF is not a Pacifica station, at that particular time, my real exposure to community radio was to some Pacifica programming. And this, to me, was the most wonderful radio that I'd ever been exposed to. And so I immediately went out and bought a tabletop radio that I could also use at my campsite and just kept my ear tuned to WMNF. Listening to their public affairs programming and also enjoying the folk music and other things that took me back to my growing up days in the 60s in Chicago. And I have been a fan of community radio ever since. Eventually, I worked for a company. I was vice president of a multimedia publishing company that moved to Tampa. And when I moved to Tampa, I immediately got involved with WMNF. Like so many of the people involved here at KPFA, my first involvement came with coming in to answer phones during their pledge drives. And then I volunteered to help mail out thank you gifts to the listeners. And during that time, one of the staff, actually, a part-time staff member who was also the volunteer coordinator, and I got to talking, and she said that she was hoping to do a program on women's sports. And we had talked a little bit about my background in tennis, and she said, would you come in and participate? And so we put together a program on Title IX, and very shortly after that, I was asked to substitute when the woman who did the women's show on Saturday mornings was going to be out of town for 6 weeks. And the rest is kind of history. I kind of got drawn into the whole picture. I spent a lot of time on the board, 11 years actually, with a break in between because there are term limits.
You mean on the technical board or on the administrative? Or
actually,
both?
On the WMNF board, the elected board of directors. I did a lot of volunteer work in a lot of areas at the station, and I co-hosted a show called From a Woman's Point of View at the station for the next, I'm not sure, it was 16 or 17 years until I moved to Berkeley. During that time, I also did some fill-in for the station manager during a period when she was ill and dying. And many of your list, well, not so much your listeners, but many people in Pacifica knew our station manager because she was one of the first two affiliate reps on the Pacifica board, and I had strongly encouraged her to do that. During that time, I became so aware of the importance of having a progressive media and how hungry many of us are for any kind of real news. And particularly when you're living in a state like Florida, you don't get much of that. WMNF was definitely an oasis in a pretty conservative area. And it was just a wonderful experience to be able to go into that radio station and interact with other volunteers and programmers and staff, to talk to people that we talked to and interviewed on the show and be exposed to some of the very progressive thinkers in this country.
You know, we're speaking with Arlene Engelhardt here at KPFA this morning. My name's Andrew Phillips, and I'm the interim general manager. Arlene Engelhardt is the executive director, and by the way, the former manager, Jim Bennett's actually the manager at WMNF in Tampa now.
Yes, he is.
I hope this isn't getting too incestuous, but that's what's happening. You know, the executive director, how does one become an executive director? Let me ask you that. How does one become an executive director of Pacifica? What's the process?
Well, it's a rather lengthy process. Someone actually contacted me and said, you know, I know you've left the publishing company and, you know, been doing well as a consultant, but Pacifica is really in trouble. They need some help, and you're the person who could do it. And I will admit that I'd heard a lot about the contentiousness at Pacifica over the years, and I wasn't at all sure that this was what I wanted to get into, so I kind of ignored it for a while. But two people at the station kind of kept kicking me down the road, and finally, the day before the deadline to apply, I sent in a resume and a cover letter and had decided that I didn't really expect Pacifica to be interested in me, but if they were, I would at least consider taking it on. And several months later, I think it was a total of about 7 months from the time that I actually submitted that resume, I was informed that I was their selection. And how fast could I get to Berkeley?
Well, yeah, I was interested also in the just the nuts and bolts of how that happens. We have a national board. We have local boards. Who actually makes that decision? How does that process work?
For the executive director, and for that matter, for the CFO of Pacifica, the Pacifica National Board has a committee that's called the Personnel Committee, and they initiate the search. They put out the advertisements. They advertise nationally. They accept resumes. They go through all of the resumes and rank them and eventually select three or four final candidates for those positions and recommend them to the national board and bring them in for in-person interviews. This is after they've done two or three phone interviews with you.
And the national board is comprised of members of local board
members. Exactly. The national board is comprised of 22 people, four representatives from each affiliate, or from each radio station.
Five stations.
Which are elected by the LSB at that particular station. And, of course, the LSB is elected by the listeners in the community.
That's the local station board. You know, we're going to take some phone calls in just a moment, and let me give out a number here. Two numbers, actually. 510-848-4425. That's 510-848-4425. And our 800 number is 800-958-9008. 800-958-9008. And we're going to take a small musical break here while you get on the phone. You can call in and you can address some questions to Arlene or to me here at KPFA in the morning, interviewing and speaking with Arlene Engelhardt this morning. She's the executive director of this Pacifica Network. My name's Andrew Phillips. I'm the interim general manager. Andrew Phillips here with Arlene Engelhardt, and we also want to thank you once again for all your help in our most recent membership drive here at KPFA. Also want to send a big thank you to the staff who worked so hard to get us over the hill on this. We didn't quite make our goal. We still have another $80,000 to go It would be great if you were to go to our website at kpfa.org, which I understand right now is down, but I'm sure it will be up shortly. But we have a lot of great premiums on our website, and you can get access to those anytime, night or day, by going to kpfa.org, and you can get your premium, and that'll really help us. Also, I want to remind you that tonight there's a party down here at KPFA from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. We're going to have a thank you party for our staff and for you, our listeners, and especially the volunteers who came in and answered the phones. Did such a great job. You'd be very welcome. You can meet some of our producers, and we can meet you, and we can just, you know. And if you've got a clarinet or even a ukulele, bring it down. We'll be here, and we'll have a good time. That'll be tonight from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. And also on 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, 9 through 11, Bob Baldock's going to be here, and he's bringing the wonderful poetry of Robert Bly. I just want to give that an announcement also. And I think we have Anthony from San Francisco. No, it's Harry in San Francisco on the line. And welcome to KPFA, Harry. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to point out that while I feel KPFA has strong programming overall, the other stations that I listen to on the Internet and when I've been in these places seem to have very weak programming, and I think that makes it hard for them to raise money also. So I really think the level of programming in those stations needs to be improved. Also, it seems like whenever we have these, whenever there are these conflicts, for example, no one has ever explained how Jerry Brown got a program or what exactly happened in the previous coup with the lockout.
Harry, can I just say, you know, that's, you know, with all due respects, that's really old news. We've got a great opportunity to speak to Arlene. She's here in the studio this morning. And let's go to Matt in Berkeley. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Morning. I love KPFA. I have for many years. I'm a member, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things I've noticed in some of the more recent call-in programs are people express their disappointment that the morning show is not there. And I would like to offer a suggestion. My understanding is what I've heard on over the years is that the time when most people, the most popular show on KPFA is Democracy Now, and the time when most people are likely to listen is drive time between 7 and 9, and previously Democracy Now! Was on 6 and 9. Here's my idea. What about the morning show comes back as so many people seem to like it, but it is by in the middle, it's 2 hours, but in the middle, like maybe it's from 7 to 8, and then from 8 to 9 is Democracy Now!, and then from 9 to 10 is hour number 2 of the morning show. And that way, Bay Area commuters can get Democracy Now! Instead of having to listen to All Things Considered or Morning Edition, whatever that one is. And the morning show producers, instead of like thinking, oh, but we want a 2-hour show, not a 3-hour, they have a 2-hour show, and that hour in between, they can, you know, use for producing and, you know, doing whatever they do in producing a show anyway. What do you think of that idea?
Well,
everybody wins.
Well, yeah, maybe. Taken under advisement. You know, one thing, there's a term we use in radio. It's called churn, C-H-U-R-N, churn. And it describes how the audience rolls over very quite rapidly in the morning. And it's why we keep on, why we're supposed to keep on repeating information, because we know there are always new people tuning in. And I bet someone just tuned in right now. And another one just tuned in right then. It's like that. And people are tuning in and tuning out. So, you know, you can put Democracy Now! On at 7 o'clock. And, in fact, you could put it on at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and you'd probably get a 50% brand new audience every time. But we will take it under advisement, and thanks for your call. Our phone number here is 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425, or 800-958-9008. That's 800-958-9008. Here with Arlene Engelhardt this morning. If you have any questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you. And I think we have someone from... good, thank you, V, in Burlingame. Go ahead, please.
Oh. Yes. Can I ask the question now?
Yeah, why don't you turn your radio down? I think you can hear us in the background. Thanks a lot. Here with Arlene Engelhardt on KPFA in the morning.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Yes. I wanted to know why the show that was hosted by Amy Allison and Brian Eckert called The Morning Show, why it was taken off air in the first place.
Let me throw that one to Arlene.
Arlene.
For your question.
Well, you know, we have a collective bargaining agreement with the union here, which is the Communication Workers of America. And one of the parts of that bargaining agreement says that if there is financial duress and it's necessary to lay people off, that can be done. We attempted to get as many voluntary layoffs as possible, and we did end up with 7 people taking voluntary severance, but we still were spending more money. In fact, at this moment, we're still spending more money than we're actually bringing in, but we're getting closer to a balanced budget. According to the union contract, you need to take the least senior people when you take into account, to a small degree, ability and some other factors. And when you look at our on-air hosts, the 2 people that were laid off actually were very close to the least senior people on the staff. That was the reason that was the way that happened.
We KPFA lost a lot of listeners over the past 5 years, more than a quarter, more than 25%. I read at the top of the show how radio was overall losing listeners, and certainly we were part of that. We lost about 25%, and in so doing, we also lost income. I think we came up well over $1 million short. So Pacifica in general, and KPFA in particular, was running into real financial problems, and that actually has not stopped. And so once again, check our website, kpfa.org, if you'd like to continue contributing. I think we have another caller. Nina in Santa Monica, you're on KPFA.
Oh, good. Thank you very much for calling. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
I'd like to ask the general manager of Pacifica what is, for me and many other people, a serious question. I listen on the internet to KPFA. There's a real problem at KPFK and the WBAI. There was the article in the New York Times yesterday about firing somebody who criticized the stations giving airtime to paranoia. And the problem is in these stations, how do you set standards so that people who like to hear themselves speak may not necessarily be broadcast? Here in Los Angeles, we have the station which spends lots of time advertising cancer cures and dirty electricity as a danger of producing diabetes and so on, a totally unsubstantiated claims. I'll stop now because I'm really interested. I'm a long time. I was one of the initial supporters of KPFA when it began in Berkeley. I'm very much supportive of the Pacifica stations, but this is a serious problem for which I'd like to hear some comments from the...
Thank you, Nina. Let me go to Arlene. Let me also, just before we do, if you'd like to call us at 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425, we will take your questions. Arlene, do you have a comment?
Well, we try very hard to allow each station to determine in the programming that is best for their community, and that's part of what Pacifica is all about, community radio. And part of the effort is to serve the community and to bring programs that listeners want. Sometimes stations make mistakes, and we learn from those mistakes, but there is a great interest in alternative health in this country, and that's part of the reason that you hear quite a bit of it on some of our stations. Let me also thank you for your support of KPFA back in the early days. When I first became aware of Pacifica, of course it was KPFA that I first heard about. And my first experience, I was in San Francisco for a conference, and it was Hiroshima Day. And the programming on KPFA was just amazing. I had was in my hotel room and listening to it on the radio, and I needed to set up for a trade show that I was participating in. Hadn't brought a Walkman with me, and I literally got in a cab and went to a media store and bought myself a Walkman so that I could continue listening throughout the day to that wonderful programming. And that's one of the many things that we're trying to do as a network as well as locally, is to have a few specials. A few weeks ago, we did a special day of programming throughout the network that all of the stations contributed to on nuclear power and nuclear disaster, really.
Fukushima.
Yes.
And yes, we did.
It was a great success. We had many, many calls from people. Each of the five stations contributed programming to that, as well as the archives contributed an hour to that programming. We're hoping to do a few more specials like that, with the next one probably being 9/11.
Arlene, could you talk a little bit about the Pacifica Archive? Because it's such a fantastic organization down there, has such wonderful tapes, but we don't hear so much about how it actually works and what it's doing. I know it's doing some very interesting stuff right now.
Particularly in the early days of Pacifica, many of the programs at that time were saved on reel-to-reel. Many of them were recorded on reel-to-reel, either before they were aired or as they were being aired. And those reels have sat around in some closets and other places throughout the network. And the archives is the place that is trying to bring all of those together and to digitize that content before the tapes go bad. Tapes do go bad. It's they get sticky. Sometimes they have to be baked. Sometimes they have to be cooled. They have to be kept in very careful conditions in order to preserve them. And so this is part of the history, not only of Pacifica Radio and the stations that make up Pacifica Radio, but really of this country. Segments of history that aren't available anywhere else. And we're becoming more and more aware of that as we're having some success with getting some grant funding to help with this restoration process. As these collections are digitized, they put out different collections that are available either as thank you gifts during the fund drives or through the archives website. People can get a hold of them. I think one of the things that I'm proudest of is their college initiative, where they've put out some special series that are aimed at education, and they encourage people to pledge to receive these or to come onto their website, the archives website, to receive them. And then they get not only a copy of this for themselves, the individual that's contributing, but they also can specify a school or an institution. In some cases, people have had them sent to prison libraries or to, of course, in many cases, school libraries, but hospitals, community organizations, places that can take advantage of this. At this moment, the archives is in the process of developing a grant that will hopefully enable them to digitize the entire KPFA archive, or a great good portion of it, over the next 2 years.
And another thing that's happening is the digitization of the old folios. They were the old program guides, which a lot of people would like to see come back, and I think you and I would too. In fact, we've been talking about that, but that's down the road a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that project.
I think you know more about that project than I do, Andrew, but I do know that it's a very exciting project and something that's really needed. That one appeals probably more to people that are in Pacifica than to the general public, but there are a lot of people that are interested in the history of Pacifica, so that's important too.
Well, this is a shout out to those of you old timers that may have folios stacked away up in your attic or wherever. If you do have them, we're really interested in catching up with some of the stuff that we don't have. If you're someone, and I bet there's someone out there that used to collect them, we'd love to hear from you because we'd like to get as complete a record as possible of these wonderful documents, these folios, which were the program guides, which is the history of KPFA, and they are being digitized, and we have a gentleman, Brian DeShazer, down in Los Angeles, who's been doing this archive work for, I think, 10 years, and he's been doing such a great job. And I might add that part of the money that Pacifica raises, or that each station raises, actually a small percentage. What percentage is it goes to the archive?
About 2%.
About 2% of the money that you pledge actually goes to this resource called the Pacifica Archive. And maybe we should just talk a little bit about that. Before we do, I'd like to give out our phone number once again. We may be having a phone problem here this morning. No, we're not. I think Laura, thank you. I think our computer's... Oh, no, there it is. It's come up again. The number here, 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425, or 800-958-9008, 958-9008. And I think the lines are full. Laura from Santa Clara, go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. It's so good to talk to you, and I want to thank you both very much. I'm from Santa Clara, down here in the sleepy South Bay where nothing ever happens. You guys are so lucky to be up there where people are really involved and engaged in their community. And I just want to plead once again for my life, my what I've been hoping for years from KPFA is that we need a summer picnic where we can go and have fun and dance and have music and get to know each other and, you know, have booths and just let people... have information booths, let people have craft booths, something that's in the summer and it's fun and we can enjoy each other's, you know, progressives can get together. And the other thing that I can only add to that I don't miss the morning show and I'm tired of the strife, but that's beside the point. The main point is someone vamping up is the Facebook page going to get more interactive?
Boy, is that a good question?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me have a crack at that, and then listen. You know, we're not entirely stupid here. You know, really. You know, sometimes we're a little bit nuts, but yeah, we've got to get more interactive. That's a great question. We're aware of it. We're working on it. We're going to work harder on it. We may be reaching out to our audience for some help. We've really got to get hip on the internet. It's time. Our audience is a little bit older, most of them. We've got to plug into our younger audience that are so hip on this. Your Twitter and your water and your this. Yeah, we've got to get into this, Laura. That's a great suggestion. The idea of some kind of picnic, just reminding you, you maybe a bit too far for you, but tonight we're going to have a little bit of song and dance down here at the station at 7 till 9 o'clock, and we're inviting our listeners to do that. I think we should take another call, or do you have a comment?
I think we should take another call, but I do want to say that I think it's a great idea to try to plan a gathering, and it would be nice if we could get a few concerts during the year that involve the opportunity to dance and people to get together and mix with each other. The opportunity to meet and get to know other progressives in the community, and particularly for those in some of the outlying areas that don't have perhaps as many progressives in their communities. Coming from Tampa, I know how important that was at WMNF. We had a regular concert series at an outdoor venue, and it was great to feel the energy when like-minded people get together.
Great. Habu in Madison, Wisconsin. How about that? Your internet's not down. Go ahead, please.
Well, things are usually running well in the dairy land of the nation. In any case, I'm a devoted listener and a supporter of KPFA, and I just have 2 points. One, I used to be a fan of I used to listen assiduously to the morning show, but if the bottom line, meaning the finances, etc., are hurting, that is something I can very easily live with. The second point, and that's probably more important in my eyes, and that is that it seems that we need to change the focus. You know, it's not just being about supporting Democrats no matter what, or against the Republicans no matter what. We have a kind of a morphing of the two, and there are other people like Alex Jones, etc., who are you know, equal opportunity critics. And I think in many ways that is probably an angle to take, because the needs of the people are not being met, whether, you know, red or blue. And that might endear you to a lot more people. And I know Alex Jones is doing very well. And he says some very good things, too. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, that's great. Alex Jones, for those listeners or on the internet or wherever, he does an internet radio program, and he does a lot of so-called conspiracy stuff. I think he's out of Texas, I think, actually, but he does some wild programming, Alex does, and we do here sometimes too a little bit. By the way, this gentleman's probably off the line, but I was wondering if he listens to WORT, another Pacifica affiliate out there in Madison, Wisconsin. I think we have Henry in Haywood. Go ahead, Henry. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Howard. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So I'd like to address an issue. Maybe Eileen can unpack this a little further. Well, first of all, I'm an old-time radio guy. I've worked around in the Bay Area in radio, so I can understand how diplomatic she's been in terms of trying to keep what's going on in the station from going to the airwaves with it. I can understand that. But here's my problem, Eileen. I have a problem trying to understand or trying to wrap my head around what's going on in the station when you have the person in the morning who delivers the news, and she is somewhat attacking you or attacking members of the station. And it makes me wonder whether or not I should withhold my funds or whether or not I should go forth and give my money, because I don't understand what's actually going on in the station per se with the personnel. I don't know from one minute to the next where the truth lies in terms of I'm hearing these people who are coming on the air saying one thing. I'm going to, as the general manager said, I went to their website. I looked at that. And so there is a lot of confusion. And so when you have that and you're asking people to donate, and then at the same time, these little things are taking place in the station that are going out over the air, it's hard for people to determine what they need to do with their money. I've heard one lady state earlier that she's tired of the strife. But the problem is, Eileen, we don't know what the strife is, so we can get behind those who are actually in there to save the station, or those who are, excuse the pun, you know, I guess provocateurs who are there to actually try to undermine the station. So could someone there unpack exactly what is taking place so that we, the public, can understand exactly what it is we need to do, who we need to support, and whether or not we can wrap our minds around what's actually taking place at KPFA. I go back to 1972. So now it's getting to a point where this needs to be addressed.
Henry, I think you made your point, and thank you very much, Eileen.
Yes, I think that you're making some very important points, Henry, and let me try to deal with some of them in the simplest way that I can. To put it really on the bottom line, KPFA spent $1.5 million more than they brought in the last 3 years. And, you know, we all have household budgets. We all have to live within our means. We may have credit cards, or we may have nice friends or someone else that underwrites us for a little while. Maybe we've got some money saved in the bank so we can continue to spend more than we're bringing in for a while. But at some point, that money runs out. And that happened toward the end of the last fiscal year. KPFA had used up every bit of reserves that it had and was operating at a deficit. In fact, it finished the fiscal year with over $500,000 in debts. My charge from the Pacifica National Board was to do everything that I could to bring every station into a balanced budget, that we could not afford to have stations spending more than they were bringing in. In some cases, we've got fixed expenses that it's very, very difficult to deal with. At our New York station, we have a tower on the Empire State Building, and after 9/11, when the Trade Center went down, the rent for that tower space increased exponentially. And that's an extreme burden on both WBAI and on the network. And hopefully that's going to change as the new tower gets up and there are other alternatives for radio towers in the Manhattan area. But here in the Berkeley area, we have a lot of loyal friends. We have some wonderful listeners, some wonderful contributors, and it is really, I believe, totally possible for us to operate within the money that we bring in. Unfortunately, that money has decreased about 27% over the last 5 years, but during that period of time, the expenses stayed pretty level. And once we cut everything we could, you can't, the electric company doesn't give us a discount. The phone company doesn't give us a discount. Those are expenses that if we want to be on the air, we have to incur. And so after we had trimmed everything else that we could find to trim, we realized that we had to trim some staff. All of the other Pacifica stations and the national office went through that trimming process about 2 years ago. The national office actually cut their staff by more than a third. Many of our stations cut their staff by 20% or more. Our Washington station right now, even after trimming 2 years ago, is operating this year with many of their staff at halftime. These are difficult times. Nonprofits are hurting, and we have to figure out ways in order to continue delivering programming to live within our income. On the other side of the coin, now that we have an interim general manager and an interim program director, they are trying to take steps to give you information and to allow freedom of speech on the air, but also to encourage people not to be constantly carrying on about one side or the other. There's some contentiousness in the station. Some people think, well, why do we want to be part of Pacifica? We have no reason to be a part of the Pacifica network. We should just pull off and be a station on our own. Well, first of all, Pacifica owns the license and actually owns all of the property in the network. So it is a network that was established that way. But in addition, the monies that are raised by the station that actually go to the national office are for such things as to pay for Democracy Now. I can tell you that your station and every station in this network would be hurting without Democracy Now. It is the single most popular program in the network and has been now for the last 15 years. Free Speech Radio News also comes from that source. The national specials that we do. And then there are many things that are a little bit more hidden to you as an audience, but are necessary for us to continue. We, both because we are a nonprofit and in order to get our CPB funding, which we do get from the federal government, we have to have an audit each year. That comes out of that shared expense. Our umbrella insurance policy is part of the shared expense. The expenses of processing payroll, the satellite, in order to distribute those things that go out to either our other stations in the country or to our sister stations. The satellite costs come through national. AudioPort, which is another way that programs are distributed.
Over the Internet.
Yes, there's technical support. I could go on and on. But that's what the portion of your dollar, and it is 19.5%, that goes into the shared expense, or sometimes called central services, goes for.
And if I may say, Henry, in a way it's a testament to the free speech quality of Pacifica that, in fact, you do hear this fractiousness on the air. And whilst it definitely doesn't help our air sound, you know, this can be a rock and roll environment. There's no doubt about it. And to the extent that we can, we try and rock and roll with it. But, you know, KPFA has, we have a big staff bill here to play. We have a very, we have a powerful union here, and they don't take no prisoners either. So it can be a bit rough around the edges here. There's no doubt about that. And we don't make, we're not trying to hide it. But I hope that answered some of your question, Henry. Let's go to another caller. Let me give the phone number once again, 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425, here with the Executive Director of Pacifica, Arlene Engelhardt, answering your questions this morning on KPFA. Mary in Santa Rosa, go ahead, please.
Good morning, and thank you for making this space for listener comment. I want to make two points. Number one, you are telling us over and over again that ending the morning show was a financial decision. However, when you're a business or an institution or whatever that provides a service in exchange for cash, you don't take your most profitable product off the market. The morning show was expensive to produce, but it brought in at least, I don't know, two or three times the amount of money in donations. So that's my number one point, is you can't get me to believe it was a financial decision. And then number two, the listeners have made it, the majority, not all, of course, but the majority of listeners have made it very clear they want the morning show back. And who, if not for the listeners, is the programming for? I mean, are you programming for Martians who want to listen to, you know, the morning mix? The listeners don't want the morning mix. We want the morning show.
If I may, you know, you can't categorically say the listeners this, the listeners that. There's a lot of different listeners. Some people do like the morning show. Some don't like the morning show. Some people like the morning mix. Some don't like the morning mix. So it's not really categorical, Arlene.
Well, the other side of that is the financial picture. And yes, the morning hours, it really doesn't make a lot of difference who's in those morning hours on a radio station for, I'm sure, well over 90% of the stations in the country. The morning hours bring in the greatest revenue. The interesting thing is that although the actual morning hours were down slightly from a year ago on the February fund drive, we haven't had time to analyze the one that just ended, but the overall contributions to the station were actually up 6% per hour. So that tells me that while perhaps not quite as many people were contributing during the morning hours, they were contributing to the radio station, and they really did like something that was happening. And so that's part of what comes out of that. And whenever you have change, there's always some people that like it and some people that don't like it, and it takes a while to adjust.
Darlene in San Jose, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to thank thank Arlene for your courage in doing something different. I really enjoy having Al Jazeera English on in the morning, and I've really enjoyed the morning mix. I thought it's been very, very inventive, very creative. It's I've really, really enjoyed the morning mix. I'm not a fan of the morning show. I'm hoping it doesn't come back on. I really encourage you to continue keeping the morning mix on. It's been just thoroughly enjoyable to hear the different shows that have been on with the morning mix. And anyway, I just want to thank you for your courage in trying something different.
Thank you for your comments, Darlene, and we're certainly going to keep trying. The important thing is that we need to find ways to better serve our community, to reach more people, to reach out and touch those people that aren't served, and yet still continue to provide service to our longtime loyal listeners. They are important people, and we don't want to forget you either. And that sometimes is a difficult balancing act. As probably one of my last comments, I just want to say a big thank you to the entire staff here at KPFA, including both unpaid and paid workers, for all of the hard work they do to bring the great programming and to serve this station.
You've been listening to Arlene Engelhardt, Executive Director of Pacifica. My name's Andrew Leslie Phillips. I'm the Interim General Manager. Thank you so much for listening. I hope I see some of you tonight down at the station, 7 till 9 o'clock. Thank you to our Kirsten, Anthony, and Kerry Tor.